It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @FaderoutePodcast, or drop us a line on X @FaderoutDNZ, and you could be next.
Right, joining us on the In Route today, we have resident Giant fan and member of the Tubby Hook Tavern, Danny Butler's on the show. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good to see you again. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Danny?
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Well, Danny, the 2024 season's in the books, and it was brutal.
Yes.
I was much more optimistic about the Giants than you were, and you were right. The Giants went 3-14. For the first time in their illustrious history, they did not win any division games. So, Danny, I ask you, where did it all go wrong?
How much time you got?
I think the opening kickoff of the first game of the year.
Vikings. Open up against the 14-3 Vikings.
But you know what? Like, after getting killed by the Vikings, but then a couple weeks later, you realize the Vikings are very good. I started to be a little more optimistic. Like, okay, maybe that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. You know, the Giants, you know, we almost beat Washington, and then we finally beat Cleveland. Like, all right, maybe this team will be okay because Minnesota's pretty good. But no, that was not the case.
No, it was just one problem after another. And I believe in Joe Shane. I believe in Brian Daboll and what they're cooking up. But even I didn't think it could be that bad. And it was awful. How many games did you wind up going to, Danny?
I only went to one, which in my life is... I went to the Cowboy game on Monday night. That's the fewest amount of games I've ever gone to.
Wow, yeah. I wound up going to a Giant game, which I haven't done in a long time. So, like we said, the Giants have work to do to get this team back on top. The Giants will have a top five pick in the 2025 NFL draft. What would you like to see them do with the pick?
I'm definitely not crazy about Shedeur Sanders, and I think more scouts are saying that now that they have a second round grade on him.
That's right.
I mean, I think I like Cam Ward a little bit, but with the third pick, I don't think it's going to matter. I think definitely Ward is going to go. I wouldn't mind trading back if somehow the Browns at two don't take a quarterback because the whole Deshaun Watson stuff. And, let's say they take Travis Henry or something. I would love, if you could find a team that loves Shedeur Sanders, to trade back, get more picks, get more talent, and hope maybe get a number one next year where you'd be in a better position in a better quarterback draft. But at number three, if Travis Henry felt here, I think he's going to be an excellent cornerback, and I think he can be a pretty good wide receiver, you know, in a limited way. He's not going to play two ways like he does in college, but you can definitely work out a package for him on the offensive end.
I mean, reports indicate that actually Watson re-injured his Achilles.
That's true.
So that's right. So his 2025 is definitely in question. So, you know, maybe they re-up Jameis and kind of roll the dice, or maybe they do kind of shit can the whole thing. Like, you know, they may or may not be in the market for a quarterback at that point. But, you know, there's a sucker born every minute. Are the Raiders that sucker? Like, are the Raiders the team that you're kind of earmarking if you're Joe Shane? These guys are fucking idiots. Let's call them up and see what they're willing to give me for the number three pick.
I just don't see a Hall of Famer in, like, the first five picks, right? I mean, you know, there were years where you had your Peyton Mannings, you had your, you had your studs, you had your LaDainian Tomlinsons, you had your... You know, Michael Vicks, there's not a guy out there this year that you want to really hang your hat on. But Danny, were you upset that they won that game and lost the number one pick? Did that piss you off at all?
I mean, it didn't just because, like I said, I'm not in love with the quarterbacks. I mean, I understand people getting upset, but people act like it's like they're playing Madden. Like, oh, we'll just simulate this game and it won't matter. Like, no, players and coaches don't tank. I mean, there's things organizations can do by, you know, putting guys on IR that can kind of, you know, help them lose games. But players are going to play hard. They're looking for contracts next year.
And incentives, right? Sport. Incentives, too? Yeah.
Yeah, incentives. And also, I think you said we didn't win a division game, which is true and terrible. But we would have been the only team ever and the first team ever, maybe what it stood for a while, to go 0-9 at home because of the extra game now. That's never happened before.
Right,
and
right.
I think that had a lot – that was some internal pressure on the organization and the coaches, the players. We need to win this game.
Well, the other thing is, like, listen, there's been 88 NFL drafts. And out of 88 NFL drafts, there's only been 11 players who have been drafted number one overall and actually won a Super Bowl for the team that they were drafted by. So wow. I don't think losing the number one pick is the end of the world. You still got a top five pick. You're still going to get the player that you want or the player that can make your team better. I didn't really understand everybody getting all upset. I like Drew Lock. I'm a Drew Lock fan. So I was happy to see him ball out that day. But I thought it was kind of silly that they got that Giants fans got upset because they lost the number one pick. Especially, I mean, the only thing I would say is you would definitely been in a position to trade back then and get a bevy of picks.
Right.
But, I mean, that's football, right?
If you remember, I think it was 4 years ago now, Daniel Jones' rookie year. We won the last game of the year against Washington, and people were going crazy. Oh, we lost out to Chase Young. Chase Young sucks.
Yeah,
and
he
instead
does.
We went to number four and drafted Andrew Thomas. Now, granted, Thomas has been hurt back-to-back years, but he's one of the best left tackles in football.
He is one of the best. Yeah, you just you don't know. You know, nobody knows.
And
nobody
knows. Think there's something to karma. Like if you play hard, things should work out. You don't want to piss off the football gods.
No, not at all. And it's unbelievable if you think about it. Like, I think the Patriots played the Bengals week one, and the Patriots won that game, and the Bengals lost that game. Imagine if it was the other way around. Yesterday would have been a lot different from everybody. Or Sunday would have been a lot different for everybody.
So what do you think about this, guys? Like, we knew that Mayo was getting fired. He probably knew he was getting fired before the game started.
I don't think he did.
You
I
sure?
I don't think he did, Z. There's reports that he was telling his team before the game, like, you know, go out there and play and, you know, we'll talk about everything tomorrow. We'll see how everything lies. I have a meeting with the Crafts in the morning and, you know, we'll discuss, you know, what's going forward for the team. There's reports that he said that to the team before the game.
This feels a lot like the Lovie Smith, I'm getting fired, fuck you, I'm going to screw your damn, I'm going to screw up your draft position.
I don't think he knew, Z. I don't think he knew. I think he walked in at the meeting after the game and was shocked. Because he got fired after the game. Like, right after the game.
It's like, you son of a
Antonio
bitch.
Antonio Pierce got fired today, but that motherfucker got fired right after the game. And he won. And he won the game.
How much do you think the result of it was? Shit. Now we lost.
Well, that's the only thing I'm thinking. Maybe the only thing I can think of is maybe they told him to lose the game and he didn't want to lose it. I don't know.
He's got a lawsuit on his hands, kind of like Brian Flores against the NFL.
I don't know. It's just it sounds weird. He, from what I heard, he was caught off guard by it all. Like, because if you remember, guys, he's been waiting 5 years for this job.
He was
handpicked to be Belichick's successor. He's been learning the ropes for 5 years. It was the job was handed to him, and he was handed a shit roster. And after 1 year, you got fired. And we kind of all can agree. I think Drake May is competent.
Right.
Even the backup looks like he can play. He looks like what Anthony Richardson should look like. So even there, it's just like, okay, you've got talent at quarterback. You probably need to spend a little money in free agency, and you're going to be competitive next year.
Yo, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in his introductory press conference, what did Gerard Mayo say? We are going to be spending. And he had to walk that back. He had to walk back his introductory press conference.
Yeah.
So, but you're only as loyal as your options, you know? Like, Mike Vrabel's available. He's a Patriot as much as Gerard Mayo was.
But he's going back in there with McDaniel. But Z, Vrabel was available last year.
Right. That's the thing that's confusing me. Did they just have a deal with Belichick? And they said,
Yes, he did. It was in the contract.
Right. We'll do this for a year, and then we're totally done with Bill. So, F you, Bill. We're going to hire...
But the other thing is why the Patriot way is over, right? You don't have Tom Brady. You don't have Hightower. You don't have those guys to walk the line of the Patriot way. It didn't work the last 5 years with Belichick. Why is it going to work? It didn't work with Gerard Mayo this year. Why is it going to work with Vrabel going forward? I mean, Mike Vrabel's a nice guy and he's a good coach, but why wouldn't you want to change it up? Why wouldn't you want to try something different?
Yeah,
why
if you're going to fire Mayo, then yeah, like you said, go totally out of house.
Go totally out. Like if you're going to
Mayo at least one more year.
Right. If you fire Gerard Mayo to hire Mike Vrabel, which reports indicate that looks like where they're going, then what was this all about? And this is the Crafts should just look like incompetent. It just looks stupid. But yeah. Let's go back to the Giants. The Giants are heading into the offseason. We have to. It's a New York-based show, Danny.
Yeah.
Our guy. The Giants are heading into the offseason with Drew Lock as their quarterback. Can you see a scenario where the Giants sign Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, or Jimmy G to help them bridge to the next quarterback?
This fucking guy with Sam and Drew Lock. Jesus Christ.
What's the plan at the quarterback? What would your plan be at the quarterback position, Danny?
I actually like Darnold, and
oh Jesus!
I mean, it's going to cost them a lot of money, but they have a lot of cap room, and if they could make a, you know, sign him in a way they kind of did Daniel Jones with opt outs and everything, I don't think for a year or two that's the worst thing. And
then tell me what's the deal, Danny? What's the deal? What are you offering Sam?
I mean, he's going to
three
want,
years, $90 million.
Yeah, I mean,
you're giving him the Baker deal.
Yeah, with a maybe hopefully a team opt out after two, maybe.
Yeah,
a front loaded like,
yeah.
I'm not a cap wizard by any means, but I mean, other than that, like Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins, I have no faith in. I heard some rumors trading for Kyler Murray.
He's no, God.
I don't want Kyler Murray. I think he's a baby. I think he would fall apart.
He's a second.
The Yankees need him. The Yankees can use him at second.
We could use him at second, actually, as a matter of fact, yeah. But he can lead off steal some bases, but I don't trust him in New York. But one thing, if the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings. Do you think they'll sign Sam, or do you think they're going to go with JJ McCarthy?
I don't think because I think Sam is going to come into this looking to get paid,
right?
And I don't think that they're going to be willing to pay him. So they're going to offer something similar to what you just said. That's what I would do if I was the Vikings. Listen, we just drafted JJ McCarthy. Like, he's our future. Sam, you played great for us this year, and actually, we would like you to come back. But the deal is 3 years, $100 million. 3 years, $90 million. That's the deal. Like, I'm not going to pay you 5 years, $200 million. It's not happening. It's not. Or five years, $215 million or $220 million. I'm not going to do it. So I do think he's going to be available, and I do think the Giants should consider him. Now, the only problem with that is like Daboll. You can't coach him like he's Josh Allen, dude. Like, you gotta. You can't coach him like he's Daniel Jones. Whatever you were running, you can't run that with Sam. Sam is going to do very well in a multiple pass option offense. That's what he's going to do well in. And you've got to tell him how to read it. 1, 2, and 3. Don't ad-lib this, Sam. These are your reads. And that's the way you got to coach Sam Darnold. You can't be doing run pass options with Sam Darnold. That's not going to work. He can't get hit a lot, as we saw on Sunday against Detroit. They hit him a few times, and it shook him. Then he starts sailing passes. He starts throwing in the dirt, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You guys are kind of missing the point with the Giants. You're putting him behind that offensive line. Even if you improve this line, it's still been the drizzling shit for the better part of a decade. So you're going to see the Jets Sam Darnold again.
Well, I would hope they would draft. I would hope this year they would draft an offensive lineman in the first round. If you're gonna do that, and the whole idea is about fortifying the offensive line. I mean, that's what Joe Shane was talking about in Hard Knocks. Was, you know, fortifying the offensive line, getting Daniel Jones at the time a weapon, which I think they did. Right, Danny, you would agree that Malik Nabers?
Oh, he's a beast.
Is the truth?
He's legit. Yeah, he is.
He's the truth. He could be a number one. He broke the record, I believe. He broke Odell's record, right?
Yes.
He broke all the receiving records. Okay, so we know we have a wide receiver. I thought Tracy did a decent job at running back. He's not great, but he's okay. He could get it done. Get rid of Motor. Motor's garbage. And let's get another running back, maybe in the fourth or the fifth round. And let's build the offensive line. Because, like you said, if we're going to bridge to another quarterback and we're going to look to Ewers or Manning or any of those other clowns next year, We got to make sure that that's ready to go.
Well, that was the frustrating part about, especially early this year. I mean, halfway through the year when we weren't good, and then Andrew Thomas got hurt, and he got to bring in a guy like Evan Neal. Then the wheels came off, and we were a terrible offensive line. The first 5-6 games of the year, the offensive line wasn't bad. And that's why it was so frustrating with Jones, because he just regressed so much. I don't know whether it was injuries or just years of taking a beating where his psyche was gone. Where he, I mean, you look at plays, he had time. And maybe he wasn't used to that. And
oh, there were guys running open.
Guys running wide open. Yeah.
There were guys running wide open. And it just, Danny, it just came, he's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
He's
that's
not,
all it.
I've
that's
always,
all it is.
I've always defended him. This is what annoyed me about the people that always hated him.
Mm-hmm.
He was never this bad. To think he was, for the people to be like, oh, see, Daniel Jones sucks. Yeah, he regressed. He was never this bad in his career, whether it's injuries or whatever. But
yeah. I'm a Daniel Jones fan. I like Daniel Jones. I thought he got a bad rap. I thought he just got drafted in the wrong spot. Like, he got drafted in the first round. He's not a first-round draft pick. He's a third or a fourth, and he needed development. You know, he needed to learn how to play quarterback in the National Football League. They brought him in like he was Trevor Lawrence. He wasn't. They brought him in like he was Matt Stafford. He didn't have that talent. He wasn't that talented. He's a good player,
right?
But not the caliber to play in New York, to play with garbage, and to come out on top. The fact that 2 years ago he went into Minnesota and won a playoff game.
Not only won a playoff game,
impressive.
He played unbelievable.
He was very impressive.
Yeah.
So he has it in him. It's just not something he's going to do 16 games in a row.
Now, wait a goddamn second. I am going to pause right there. Daniel Jones won a game against a paper tiger Minnesota Vikings team that we all called a paper tiger that season. They were fucking soft as shit.
He still went into Minnesota.
How did he do against Philly? How did he do against Philly?
No, but Philly was a much better team than us.
Go to the Super Bowl that year, Dan?
I don't look at Daniel Jones like, oh, he's the reason we lost Philly. We got our asses kicked top to bottom.
He's a contributing factor. You guys are trying to explain everything away. He's as much of a contributing factor as anybody. If you're talented, you make the talent around you better. And you know what? You invoke the name of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is not proven to be the guy either. He got paid like the guy. These guys get paid like the guy, but they are not.
Right. And that's a very good point, because their numbers are similar. And
I think
one guy,
Daniel Jones has one more win.
He might.
Well, how about this for a nightmare scenario for Jets and Giant fans? If Minnesota goes on a run in the playoffs, Sam Darnold is a Super Bowl MVP. But then at one point in the game, they bring in Daniel Jones to do a trick play, and he throws a touchdown pass.
That'd be great.
Everybody, we can all jump off the GW bridge together.
Well, that we can definitely get something on FanDuel for that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we've had our fair share of disappointments, and it started last year, and it was public. It was for everybody to see on Hard Knocks, starting with Saquon Barkley. So he had a great year with the Eagles, huh? Came very close to break, not too bad, right? Almost broke Eric Dickerson's single season rushing record. You got to put an asterisk next to it. It's the first in the elongated season. So it's the first of, it's the first with 17 games. So good for you, Saquon. So I don't know where you were on where they should retain him, if you were Team Jones or Team Barkley, Danny. But did you find yourself rooting for Saquon at all during the season? Or were you just like, fuck you, you signed with the Eagles, I'm done?
Well, that's why I took him with my first pick in one of my fantasy leagues, so I could root for him. And then if he would have got hurt, I would have not been that upset, because we all figured the sprained ankle, the high ankle sprain, was going to come around week 5 or week 6. But the Eagles are a much better offensive line than what this Giant team is. So, like, yes, it looks foolish not to sign Saquon, and it probably was. And, giving Jones all that money in retrospect looks ridiculous, and let Saquon go. But with the money we saved on him, we signed two offensive linemen, Runyon and Illuminaire, and they actually played decent this year at the start. So if you put Saquon on this offensive line without those two guys, we would have been even worse. He would have got hurt halfway through the year, and we wouldn't be talking about this. But that's what happens when you go to a good team. Good things happen.
I mean, I thought once he did the backwards split in the air when he was hurdling the guy, I thought, oh, shit, here he comes. Oh, no, he survived. Good for you. Good for you. Better strength and conditioning in Philly, I guess. But since we're talking about crap at the Meadowlands, let's go over to the other locker room. Aaron Rodgers' first full season as a Jet has come and gone. It's over. It's over. If Rodgers never plays another snap of football, did his time with the Jets tarnish his career? And does it kind of ding his Hall of Fame chances?
Oh, I don't think it's going to. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer no matter what. If you talk about where he's going to rank on the list, yeah, I mean, the last, well, he got hurt last year. I think it speaks more of the Jets. It's just their organization where, like, you know, you can bring anybody in there and something bad's going to happen. But to me, Rodgers' legacy, it started to get ruined the last couple of years in Green Bay. Because, you know, it got to the point where, like, they were going to the playoffs. He lost back-to-back NFC Championship games and got outplayed both times. Won by, like, a 42-year-old Tom Brady. Then he lost at home in his last start in Green Bay to Brock Purdy and the Niners. He couldn't do anything offensively. Like, if you look at, if somebody would have told you when he won the Super Bowl in 2010.
And those were MVP seasons for him, just to throw that in there.
Right, but when it mattered in the playoffs, like it always started with him pointing the finger and yelling at his teammates and just, you know, if after he won the Super Bowl in 2010, and then they were 15-1 going into the playoffs in 2011 before Eli and the Giants went in there and really kicked his ass. Yeah. Somebody would have told you he's never going to win a Super Bowl again. You would have been like, nah, get out of town. He wouldn't make another Super Bowl. So to me, Rodgers' legacy started to get tarnished his last couple of years in Green Bay. But the Jets, you know, the Jets definitely put the finishing touches on that.
Congratulations. Yeah,
I just think it's who he is. Like, you know, he's definitely a great quarterback, but he didn't come through when it mattered enough. Like in the big games, he just didn't deliver. I mean, if you're right, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He should go to the Hall of Fame 100%. But you compare him to Elway? No. You compare him to, forget about Brady, forget about both Mannings, in my opinion. And then, how about Ben? Ben went to two. Ben went to 3-1-2.
Right.
I mean, I say what you want, but I mean he and good player, like borderline great quarterback. But he wasn't a difference maker when it needed to be. Like he should have been able to go to this Jet team that was quote unquote missing a quarterback and deliver. He won less games than Zach Wilson did. He brought in the players he wanted. They had Davante Adams. They had Alan Lazard. They had a young Garrett Wilson. They had Breece Hall. Like, they had players. They never cracked 30 all year. All year. So, I mean...
Let's not even invoke the other names, though. Let's not even invoke Elway, Brady, both Mannings, Ben, Brett Favre. Is he even the best recent Packer quarterback?
I mean, I'm biased. But
hate Brett Favre.
I would take Rodgers over Brett Favre, 100%.
As far as, he has not defrauded anybody.
Right, but yeah, it's. I wonder how it is in Green Bay. I wonder if they're torn or if they like Aaron. I think they got tired of Aaron too, though.
Yeah, I would think Favre more beloved than Rodgers.
There's a statue of Favre. I don't think there's a statue of Rodgers.
No.
Yeah, well... I wonder if the statue is him getting taken down by Michael Strahan. I wonder if it was that one when he took a dive. Maybe we can ask Mark Gastineau about that. Mm. So we'll get you out here in this one, Danny. We know you're a huge Yankee fan. Yankees been making a lot of moves. May not necessarily, you know, be the flashiest or the sexiest, you know, but solid moves seemingly to build up the core of their roster. So if you were going to give a letter grade for the Yankees offseason so far, what would you give it?
I'd probably give it a B+/A-. Like losing Soto hurt, but it was so much money in so many years that it didn't even bother me. Even him going to the Mets, it was just kind of like, it got to the point like, when's enough enough? Like during the season, I think maybe I thought it would get to like 12 years, $600 million. And if the Mets would outbid us for that, I would have been annoyed. But it became so much money, and I'm happy Hal, I think finally... Hal went above his comfort zone, and when he got spurned by Soto for the Mets, I think it pissed him off, and he got a little bit of his dad in him and said, all right, well, I'll show you. I'm going to go spend money now. And I think we've done a very good job with that. I love Cody Bellinger. I wanted him in New York. I thought we should have signed him a couple of years ago when the Cubs signed him. The pitching staff, Max Fried, probably overpaid for him, but I mean, we're probably the best staff in baseball now, and then getting Devin Williams makes our bullpen maybe the best. I would have loved to get Kyle Tucker if we would have been able to work a trade for that, because to me, he's right there with Soto if you look at all the numbers, and he's probably a better fielder. Not probably, he is a better fielder. That would have made it an A++. But the way things are, I'm very happy. They can still make a move or two. I don't think they're going to get Bregman. That looks like that's out. Maybe be hearing Luis Arias to play second base. I mean, he's a great contact guy. He'll get on base and score a million runs with the lineup behind him. Not a great defender, but I'm very happy with the way they pivoted after losing Soto.
Arias, it's so weird. I'm looking at X when we post on our socials at FadeRouteDNZ, and the hate for Luis Arias is so weird. It's so peculiar. He's won 3 consecutive batting titles, but they're like, oh, he's a one-trick pony. Yeah, he hits 320. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not Billy Hamilton. It's not like, I just don't understand. I get he's not the best fielder in the world, but he's serviceable. And, you know, I wonder what it would cost to get him. But what you said that this is an A- situation. What would get it to the A++? What are some players that, you know, who would you want to see gone? Because I know there are some players that we could they could still probably move. And who would you target if you were Brian Cashman?
Well, I mean, the thought is that they don't think Bregman's power is going to transfer to Yankee Stadium. And I know he's an Astro, but he was a rookie on that team that cheated. I don't know how much you could hold him accountable. If you could sign Bregman and then move Chisholm to second base, I think that gives you maybe the best 1-9 in the league. And you can move guys around a little more flexibility than you've had. So,
are you interested in Arenado?
I mean, I don't know if I want Goldschmidt and Arenado. I mean, they weren't great with him. I don't mind taking a flyer on Goldschmidt for a year, because I think he'll be an upgrade over Rizzo. I think Rizzo is totally done. But to bring him,
he seems excited to be a Yankee.
He does. Goldschmidt. He does. And listen, if you can get Arenado on the cheap, like, yeah, I wouldn't mind it, but I don't think it's that big of an upgrade.
They shot down Arenado for Marcus Stroman straight up. That would have been the best possible move, best change of scenery possible.
Yeah, I agree. That's when that happened. I kind of thought, all right, maybe they are going to come with an offer to Bregman out of nowhere. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want Stroman on the team. I think Glaber, even though Glaber played well down the stretch and hit in the playoffs, you just saw he gets. I've never seen a guy get thrown out on the bases as much as he does. I think they were just tired of him, and I think that can be a little addition by subtraction. And as long as I don't see Verdugo again, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, he's apparently linked to the Mets, so you know, don't worry about that. The Yankees like to go. They're dumpster diving. David Sturms is dumpster diving in the Yankees bins. So, oy vey. Like, what else is no? All right, Danny Butler, thank you for joining us, brother. What do you got going on, Tubby, going forward for playoffs? Anything special happening? What's up?
Yeah, Saturday, Sundays, you know, we always have a football menu for the NFL playoffs. We'll have the sound on all the games. Tuesday night trivia, Thursday night karaoke is always a fun night to come by. So, yeah, please stop by 4946 Broadway, Tubby Hook Tavern.
We got to make that happen too, D. We definitely got to go and
absolutely
make that happen.
Broadcast live from there.
Yeah, we should do that. It'd be fun. Ooh, we should do that.
That sounds like a win right there. Danny Baldwin, thank you for joining us, brother. And if you want to join us on the In Route, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a line on X at faderoutednz and let us know.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com.